أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 90 of Surah Baqarah أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بئس ما اشتروا به أنفسهم أن يكفروا بما أنزل الله بغیان ان ينزل الله من فضله على من يشاء من عباده فباءوا بغضب على غضب وللكافرين عذاب مهين Evil is that for which they have sold their souls by defying what Allah has sent down out of jealousy that Allah should bestow His grace on any of His servants that He wishes. Thus they earned wrath upon wrath, and there is a humiliating punishment for the faithless. This is the continuation of the criticism of the Jews who rejected the Prophet of Islam while they had his descriptions in their books. And they knew him very well. If you remember, we said that they had come here just because of the knowledge that they had about the migrating place of the Prophet of the later times. Now, here the verse says that evil is that for which they have sold their souls. بِئْسَ مَا اشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ How did they sell their souls or themselves? أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ What they did, they actually gave their souls by rejecting what Allah has sent down. That's the Qur'an, of course. They rejected the Qur'an, and by that kufr, of course, they bought very mean and cheap wares of this life, keeping their leadership in the Jewish community. This is how they have done. Selling one soul, because our souls is like the sort of capital that we have. We have this hadith from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, who says, Ala innahu laysa l'anfusakum thamanun illa al-jannah, fala tabi'uha illa biha. Beware that your souls is so valuable, nothing less than paradise is the price of your soul. So do not sell it cheaper. Now, we sell our souls to different things in this world, to worldly pleasures sometimes, to position, to anger, sometimes because of anger, because of rage, we do certain things. In that, to somehow quell our anger, in that sense, we sell our souls to anger. We sell our souls to different things. They have sold their souls, which of course should have been sold for paradise. The price of it was paradise, to a kofr which gave them certain benefits in this life. So this is how they have done. بِئْسَ مَا اشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ Now, why did they do this? Because they didn't know جَهْلًا or they knew that he is the prophet, they knew this Quran is sent by God. What actually motivated them to reject it? It says, بَغْيًا. It was just jealousy. They didn't want anyone apart from the Jewish community to have this honor to receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this revelation came to someone outside the Banu Israel, they became jealous. And even sometimes when it comes inside, people feel jealous about each other. You know that most of the wars are motivated by jealousy of someone wants to be a king rather than the other person. They feel jealous. We know that, for example, the battle of Jamal, this was driven because, of course, certain people wanted to become caliph rather than Imam Ali alayhi salam. So this has been there all the time. So they out of jealousy. And actually in Surah Shura, Allah says that most of religious disputes and sectarianism is motivated by jealousy, because some people want to have the position of others. Some people want to have the lead over others. In Surah Shura, it says, وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا, people of the previous faiths did not divide it into different sects. وَمَا تَفَرَّقُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمِ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ. Just because of this jealousy, I want to be the leader rather than you want you be the leader. Then they create sects. They create different sects, different with the pretext of religion. And we know sometimes this jealousy has led people of very deep faith to disbelief. One very clear example is Ahmad ibn Hilal Abartai, who was a close companion of Imam Hassan al-Askari, then a close companion of the first deputy of Imam, the 12th Imam, the hidden Imam. He was a person who had gone to Hajj 54 times, 20 times of that on foot. And he had very high spiritual capacity. He used to show some karamat as well. But when Hussein ibn Ruh, the second deputy, was appointed by the Imam, he thought that he deserved more than him. So why he has become the deputy, not me? I have been there with his father for a long time. I have been the leader of Shia community for a long time. And all those spiritual sort of positions that he had held led him to this baghi. So it's not something that people of low faith, people of cheap faith are somehow affected by it. It is something that all of us should be afraid of. In community, someone, for example, is chosen as the president of the community, other people feel jealous about it. This baghi is something which is always there. And then there is this tawqi of Imam alayhi salam, who called him. It's very interesting that the term Imam used about this Ahmad ibn Hilal Abartai was As-Sufi al-Mutasanni', the Sufi, that's the mystic, who is showing off his mystical attitude to people, and is just selling himself for that. And here, of course, these Jewish people who were the heads of synagogues had spent their lives in synagogues for a lifetime, praying, fasting, and all these things. Now that a prophet is appointed outside that community, why not us, for example? Why just an Arab man who is from Ummiyin, who has no precedence of any scripture, why he has been appointed? So that's how he says, بَغْيًا أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. That Allah gives his fast to whoever he wishes. You would not appoint people. You would not determine to whom Allah should give his fast. Now that Allah has given his fast and his grace to someone from other communities, to someone that you never expected, now you have become jealous. And because of that jealousy, that is the motivation. Baghiyan, not jahlan, not that they didn't know. They knew. بِئْسَ مَا اشْتَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ بَغْيًا أَن يُنَزِّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ فَبَاءُوا بِغَضَبٍ عَلَى غَضَبٍ. Now, they have come back after this decision with a wrath of God upon another wrath of God. Now, what is this wrath which goes upon another wrath? The exegetes have mentioned different things. Some of the exegetes have said that the first wrath was when they rejected Isa alayhi salam. Now, of course, they rejected Isa alayhi salam according to what the Quran says, and that brought the wrath of God. Of course, when you reject a prophet, when a prophet comes and you reject, then still your community holds, still you are from Ahlul Kitab, that's fine. But now another prophet comes and you second time you reject, just holding to the traditions and holding to the heritage of your community. This is a ghadab over ghadab. And some say that it isn't actually alluding to two wrath. It says wrath after wrath after wrath. For example, by worshipping the calf, by rejecting Harun, by doing all those things that they did, by killing the prophets, by rejecting Isa, by rejecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they actually, what the community have earned over centuries is just wrath upon wrath upon wrath. And what is the hope for this community which come ba'u bi-ghadabin ala ghadab walil kafirina azabun muheen? And for the faithless, of course, when Allah says kafirin here means kafirin of this category, kafirin of this caliber, there is a humiliating punishment. Now, some people say that isn't punishment always humiliating? No, some punishments are not humiliating. For example, if we have jealousy in our heart, jealousy is a punishment for us, actually. We think that it is something that we are creating, but because of certain qualities that we have, our heart feels jealous, and that jealousy is a punishment of our heart, but that is not, for example, humiliating for us. Or, for example, greed is a punishment for human beings for not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not remembering Akhirah. But these are not humiliating. Now, Allah says that the punishment for these people is going to be humiliating on the day of judgment when they go to hell. And the interesting thing is that you see all these verses we are reciting, it's all about the believers, because Jews were believers, aren't they? They were believers in their faith. And of course, we as believers should be very careful not having that sort of hallucination that because we are Muslims, so we are saved, you are safe. No, that's not correct. Allah calls them kafirin. He may call us kafirin depending on what we do. Now, the following verse, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا نُؤْمِنُوا بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ وَهُوَ الْحَقُّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَهُمْ قُلْ فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. When they are told, believe in what Allah has sent down. That's the Quran. Believe in the Quran. This is something sent down by Allah. They say, we believe only in what is sent to us, to the Jewish community. We do not believe to any scripture sent down outside the Jewish community, outside Banu Israel. قَالُوا نُؤْمِنُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَيَكْفُرُونَ بِمَا وَرَاءَهُ وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ. Now, anything which is outside their community, even if it is haq, they reject it. They reject it. This is haq, مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعْهُمْ. It actually confirms what is in their books. As we said before, the meaning may mean, the meaning of this tasdeeq may be the descriptions of the Prophet, or maybe tasdeeq of tawheed and all descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ فَلِمَا تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Okay, you say that we believe in what is revealed to us only. Didn't all those prophets came from your own community and you killed them? Didn't, for example, Zakaria, Jesus, or many other prophets, weren't they from your own community and you killed them? So this is just a pretext. You say that we do not believe anything coming outside our community and believe what is revealed to us, and you kill your own prophets as well. So this is just a pretext. قُلْ فَلِمَا تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Now this is, of course, an address to the Jews of Medina. However, because they were supporting the heritage of their forefathers, Allah says, you are the same It's just the hearts which are going to be taken into account when they support or not support. There's one hadith about this قُلْ فَلِمَ تَقْتُلُونَ أَنْبِيَاءَ اللَّهِ in Tafsir Ayyashi from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Says that this verse, of course, was revealed about the Jews of the time of the prophets. While they didn't kill the prophets, it was the forefathers who killed the prophets, and why they are actually criticized, why they are held responsible by this, they are rebuked by this, because أَضَافَ إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ أَوَائِلِهِمْ بِمَا تَبَعُوهُمْ وَتَوَلَّوهُمْ. Because they followed suit, they followed exactly the same path, and they had tawalli for them. They were actually support. They were saying that we are proud of what our forefathers have done. This tawalli and tabarri that we have in our faith, that we have to actually have wilaya or connection with those who have good faith, and tabarri or disowning, disconnection, disconnecting ourselves from those who have done evil things, is because of this. Anyone, for example, who supports Bani Umayyah today, Allah would hold them responsible for the killing of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, because you have the same wilayah, you are in the same band. There is this hadith from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam in the Battle of Siffin, when someone went to him and said, I wish my brother was with us because he loved you very much. He loved to fight before you. And he said, Ahawa akhika ma'ana. What is the desire of your brother? What is the feeling of his heart? He said, of course, it's with you. He said, he's with us. It doesn't matter if he's somewhere else. He's with us. So what our hearts tend to and support will actually determine where we are standing with regards to what the people in the past have done. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ مُوسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ. Okay, you say that only we believe in what is revealed to us. Now, these are very strong arguments against the Jews of Medina, who said, we do not believe in you because you are Ummi, because you are Gentile, because you are not one of us. He says, Musa came to you. And Musa was not an ordinary prophet like other prophets. Of course, some of the prophets of Banu Israel who came after Musa, like Elijah, Elias, and others, they had great miracles. However, the miracles of Musa was not comparable to any of them. He said, Musa came to you with huge miracles, with bayyinat. And these bayyinat were parting the sea, the stuff that he had, and all those miracles that he showed. Then what you did? You started to worship the calf. ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْأَجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَأَنْتُمْ ظَالِمُونَ. Certainly, Moses brought you manifest proofs. And you say, we believe in what is revealed to us. Why you rejected Musa alayhi salam then? Why immediately after he, مِنْ بَعْدِهِ ثُمَّ اتَّخَذْتُمُ الْأَجْلَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ, means after he just went for an appointment with Allah, you started to worship the calf. You say, we believe only it is what is revealed to us. And وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ. Now, this was mentioned before, رَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ, we raised the mount on you to believe. But this is actually mentioned here in the context of a different argument. You say you believe in what is revealed to us, but you did not believe unless we raised the mount on you, and out of fear, you gave the covenant and you made the promise with Musa alayhi salam. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ. When we took your covenant and raised the mount above you, declaring, hold on with power to what we have given you. خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take what we have given you with power. We discussed this before. What's the meaning of take what we have given you with power? Means that the injunctions, the advice, the instructions which are in Torah, take it seriously, not making a mockery of it. Sometimes the way we practice the faith is a mockery of faith. The way we practice some, we find some loopholes, for example, in the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we say that, well, this is shari, we do it. When we do that, we make a mockery of the faith. When Allah, for example, talks about talaq, you know, for some reason, Allah has given the right of talaq to the husband, the right of divorce to the husband. Then husbands actually sometimes use this in a way which is a mockery of the faith. For example, they say, now that this is in my hand, for example, they have a quarrel with their wives. They say, okay, I do not divorce you and I do not live with you. You stay here until you die, for example. Now, this is mockery of the laws of Allah, and especially in the ayah of talaq, Allah says, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Do not make a mockery of ayatullah by just actually applying it in a very superficial and distorted manner. Now, here, خُذُوا مَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ, take what we have given to you seriously, not just a veneer of it. Wasma'u. Isma'u means follow. Listen. Qalu sami'na wa asayna. They said, we listen and we disobey. Of course, this is not what they said. This is what they did. Most of the exegetes say that this is not actually what they said by their mouth. Of course, it would be very irrational for these people to say to Musa alayhi salam, we hear and we disobey. No, this was their mentality. Well, we hear it, but well, why should we care? Why should we follow? وَأُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. أُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. أُشْرِبُوا means they were given to drink. They were given to drink the love of calf. أُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْأَجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ, because of their disbelief. Now, what does that mean? First of all, why أُشْرِبُوا, they were given to drink the love? Some of the ages say that drinking is different from eating. When you eat something, of course, you digest it, and or even when you, for example, put a solid thing inside something else, it is there. It is there, but it does not penetrate to all parts of it. But when you pour water on something, or when you drink, it penetrates into all the deepest parts, or every part that is possible. For example, on a soil, when you put something solid, it's there, but when you pour water, it penetrates down. This love of calf was something which had penetrated the deepest part of their hearts. Why? Because they had seen in Egypt this calf was being worshipped, as we discussed before, the Apis calf, which was worshipped in Egypt and was one of the greatest gods. And they thought that this calf would and could actually fulfill all the wishes of people, whatever hajat they have, it could give it to them. Because of this love of this calf, which they always tended to worship, even after Moses came, destroyed all these beliefs and such things, still they had in their minds, because when they prayed to Allah, it didn't come very quickly, isn't it? But they said, why shouldn't we ask the calf, for example? We used to ask the calf before. So this love of a calf was in their heart. Why bekufr him? Because of their disbelief. Although Musa had told them about one God, Tawheed, God could not be seen, but still they had this disbelief in their heart that, no, how should we worship a God which cannot be seen? أُشْرِبُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْعِجْلَ بِكُفْرِهِمْ. And because of their disbelief, because of their lack of understanding about what is Allah, the nature of Allah, they had this love of calf actually infused in their hearts. قُلْ بِئْسَمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِهِ إِيمَانُكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. They said, we believe in whatever is revealed to us. Now, did your book say that you have to worship the calf? Or like, for example, worshiping Baal at the time of Elijah. You know that Banu Israel all of them at the time of Elias. And that's what is mentioned in Surah Safat, وَإِنَّ إِلْيَاسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ قَالَ لِقَوْمِهِ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ أَتَدْعُونَ بَعْلًا وَتَذَرُونَ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. You call Baal and you leave the best of the creators, not calling him, because at the time of Baal, this Jewish king Ahab, he actually called everyone to worship Baal, and they were worshiping Baal, and they were worshiping Baal, they were worshiping God as well, the Allah of Musa alayhi salam. Now, if your faith, because they say nu'minu bima unzila ilayna, we believe in what is revealed to us, and we reject whatever is beyond that, even if it's haq, it says, if this is your iman, if your iman said to worship the calf, if your iman said that you killed the prophets, so very bad thing is your faith, or bad things, your faith leads you, commands you to very bad things. قُلْ بِأْسَمَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِهِ إِيمَانُكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. If you are really faithful to this faith, this is a very bad faith. What you have done is very bad faith. And this shows that Allah actually takes communities accountable for what they do, not what they say. If, for example, we do certain things, we kill each other, and they say, we are Muslims, Allah has said us, for example, to kill the kafirin, and then we kill each other, then Allah says, very evil is what your faith is commanding you to do. قُلْ إِن كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Now, the other thing that they claimed was that وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا. And of course, Quran combines the claim of Jews and Christians. وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. Means the Jewish were saying that only the Jews go to paradise, and the Christians were saying that only Christians go to paradise, and we say only we go to paradise, and Shia say only we go to paradise, you see? And everyone else goes to hell, and if Allah wants to put all these together, it means everyone goes to hell, isn't it? Because everyone is saying that everyone else would go to hell. Now, they used to say, وَقَالُوا لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا. Only Jews would go to paradise, those who believe in the Torah. He says, okay, you say this, and you say that no one else would go to paradise. It's only us. So why are you so grabbed to this world? You have to actually release yourself somewhat, wishing that you go to Allah, going to paradise. قُلْ إِن كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ means that no one else would go to paradise except if they are Jews. If Darul Akhirah, Darul Akhirah is paradise, Jannah. If Darul Akhirah is exclusively, khalisatan, exclusively belong to you, excluding everyone else, so why don't you wish to die? فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. This is actually testing the deepest desire of their hearts. It means what you say is not true. What you claim is not true. Here, of course, there is a concept of this wishing for death, and we know that we should not wish for death, but we should not care about dying the way we die. It means we should not be afraid of it. And these Jews, of course, at that time, they were very afraid of death. And Allah says, if you really believe that whatever is there is your monopoly, so why are you afraid of this? In Surah Jummah as well, we have this قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. You are the only friends of Allah. Allah has only chosen you, no one else. And it's very irrational to think that, for example, Allah chooses a small number of people and then everyone else he has created to go to hell. the type of mentality that we have about Allah is very distorted. Now, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقًا. If you are truthful, you say, I'm only from awliya Allah. We are from awliya Allah. So why you don't have this desire to go to Allah sooner? And then Allah says, وَلَا يَتَمَنَّ وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They never want to die because of what they have done in this world. Of course, the more evil we do, the more afraid we are of death. There is this hadith from Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam that لا أبالي وقع على الموت أم وقع الموت وقع على الموت. He said to his son, to Imam Hassan alayhi salam, إن أباك لا يبالي وقع على الموت أو وقع الموت علي. I am not afraid to meet the death or death comes to me. That is the position of a mu'min. A mu'min wouldn't wish death, but a mu'min would always is prepared and ready for death and feels that this world is like prison. Ad-dunya sajnul mu'min, isn't it? He is convicted to live in this world and waiting for the term of the conviction to finish and go. This is the position of a mu'min, isn't it? We have this hadith that the Prophet said, la yatamannayanna ahadukum al-maut. No one of you should wish to die لِذُرٍ نَزَلَ بِهِ. Because, for example, some misfortune, some harm has come to you. وَلَكَنْ لَيَقُلْ أَلَّهُمَّ أَحْيَنِي مَا دَامَتَ الْحَيَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي. Keep me alive as long as life is good for me. وَتَوَفَّنِي مَا كَانَتِ الْوَفَاةُ خَيْرًا لِي. When death is good for me, take me. This exactly the same thing as Imam says. I don't actually care if I meet the death or death comes and meet me in a battle or whatever. So this tamanna ul maut doesn't mean that wish death because of some difficulties of life or something like that. It means a person who is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is never afraid of death, is actually welcoming it, is waiting for it. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا. The same thing as we have in Surah Jum'ah. بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Because of what their hands have sent forth, because of their sins, they never would like that. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah, of course, knows the wrongdoers better. Okay, and we have وَلَتَجَدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَسَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ آيَةٍ. Inshallah, we discuss this next week. وَسَلَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل شيخ. Thank you very much indeed, Sheikh. So we now open the floor for 15-20 minutes to further the discussion. And any brother or sister ready?
Assalamu alaikum. Sheikh, you mentioned this issue of tawalla and tabari. This has been very relevant, I think, now, especially with the elections in the US. And do we have the concept of supporting the lesser of the two evils if you apply this principle?
Well, I don't have tawalli for any of them anyhow. I have tabari for both of them.
So I think that's what there was a lot of discord between Muslims there. Should you go for the third vote if you consider that to be in line with your values?
You are not or in America your vote at all. I mean,
yeah, but that will apply to us in the upcoming...
In upcoming election.
But is this something to understand because there's been...
Well, this is politics, of course, but we never have tawalli for any of these people because we know how their policies are set, what are they doing. Of course, choosing between the lesser evil doesn't mean tawalli. It doesn't mean tawalli. Tawalli is that you really support someone by your heart because you believe in them, because you know that they are good, because you know that they are from those that Allah has mentioned in the Quran, وَاسْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاةِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Keep yourself attached to those who call their Lord in the morning and evening continuously. So these are the type of people that we have tawalli for. Otherwise, for these people, it's politics. You want to choose the lesser evil, but there is no tawalli there. I don't think so.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Brother? Back to brother?
Yeah, yes. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam.
2 points that I'd like just to expound on, if I can, for you. The first one is, when you say, in one of the ayahs we saw that there is something called evil. For people who have already got Islam in their hearts, you explain that greed or position in life can blind them. And of course, we know that's exactly what happened to Iblis himself. Now, can we not say that 90% of this throughout their life was good for them to achieve what they need to? Because at the end of the day, the root of greed is competition, is a healthy thing to even have more competition in learning about Islam, for example. So you have a class of people, and one Ayatollah can do better than the other because he's more interested. Is that drive not the same as greed?
Well, you know, all these evil things that are in our heart is just a distorted version of something very good that Allah has put in our heart. For example, everyone is after perfection, okay? That is fitrah in every human being. You always want a better life, better house, better family, better environment, isn't it? Why do we want this? It's the fitrah. It's in our very nature that we want things to improve, to be better. This is placed in us, this sense for perfection, so that we always try to move higher and higher, and especially because the perfect thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to go towards him. Now, the distorted version of this would become greed, would become jealousy. And no one says greed is good. Competition is good, but greed is something which actually destroys one's own life. Because with greed, you are never, you can never rest. With jealousy, you can never have peace in your heart. So these are distorted versions. That jealousy is the sense of competing with each other to do good. سَابِغُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Competition is there, but we distort it to something very bad, which is jealousy. Therefore, I don't think human beings have anything which in its nature is bad, as you mentioned. In their nature, everything is good. But with that lebas of taqwa, we cover these evil aspects of those very good things.
Yep. So what we're looking for is a balanced life, as in, you know, not to not to exceed one's
You know, you can have competition, you can have a very good life, very prosperous life, without greed. You see, greed is an attitude. It's not something which is out, it's an attitude. Jealousy is an attitude. You can have a very good life, you can compete with everyone else, you can actually improve your business without greed. That is what we need to learn, actually, that we put aside greed and improve in our lives.
Thank you. Sisters? Any sisters? Any brother?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. You mentioned that we should not be wishing for death. Do we have any traditions to actually die a death of a martyr in our hadith? And is that what's the difference?
Wishing
there?
For martyrdom is good. But wishing for death is bad. in dua of Ramadan, don't we say وَقَتْلًا فِي سَبِيلِكَ فَوَفِّقْ لَنَا. It means make my death martyrdom. Now, when it comes, in what manner? I had a friend of mine was saying that one of the Ayatollahs was saying that I wish for martyrdom, but only while I'm sleeping, one bullet without feeling anything. That's how martyrdom comes, all right? So wishing for martyrdom is good, but that's different from wishing for death. It means make our death, whenever it is, to be martyrdom.
Sisters? No? Sure.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
You mentioned when you explained baghi as jealousy. Normally, in terms of baghi, we have this understanding of rebelliousness, mm-hmm. and rebelliousness can be for various reasons. But whilst you were talking, I looked up in the dictionary, and baghi does have the idea of seeking beyond what is yours.
Transgression.
In terms of baghi and hasad, is hasad supposed to be one step even further, or is a synonym, you would say?
Baghi is hasad. Of course, one of the meanings of the baghi is hasad, and actually all the exits I looked at, in this case, they have actually given the meaning of hasad to baghi. Hasad is something in the heart. It may be not under your control. It may just come without you wanting it. But as long as you keep it in your heart, it's hasad. When you apply it, when you do something based on that, it becomes baghi. So baghi is, of course, something further than hasad, something more evil.
Thank you, sisters. No? Nizar?
Sheikh, I'm so sorry to change the subject because it's pertinent to an event today. In a room like this, to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein, if I had a group of people doing matam, I would respect that. If they read Marsiya in Urdu and raised the emotions of the people, I would respect that. If there was a taziyah or whatever in a corner and people paid respect to it, I would respect that. If there was an alam here, I would respect that. Now, if all of those four things, I took them through this door and into the street, okay, I feel that I'm ridiculing this religion by moving these four things outside this building into the street, including asking our children to hold the alam. How do you respond to my comment?
Well, there are different opinions about these marches that we do here in London. And some people say that it is something only for the community. But because it has been a tradition since old that in Muslim countries, people used to come and march. And when these people march, for example, on Ashura Day or other days, in Tehran, and on Ashura Day we are passing the streets, we see them, they are doing matam, we cry. It's something very good, you see. It is a reminder that, look now what has happened, people are mourning. But what does it mean in this city? Some people say that maybe it gives the wrong message, for example. So we shouldn't. Some people say that, no, it's only for ourselves. We want to do the same thing that we do in our countries. So it is something controversial. Some people like to do it. Some people don't like. Some people support. Some people don't support. Now you are among those who don't support it.
Thank you. Any sisters? Brothers? Yeah, Riaz.
Salam, Sheikh. I just noticed the second one was 32 when you said we took a pledge from you and raised the Mount of Tur above you. Now, in plain English, that's called coercion.
Yeah.
It's coercion. It's like putting a gun to somebody's head and saying, I'm telling you to believe this, you need to believe this, or I will kill you.
it was a miracle to show them the power of Moses and the, his connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has been actually Fakhreddin Razi. You know, Fakhreddin Razi has a very creative mind. He's the one who goes everywhere. And this idea of coercion has been mentioned by him as well. So what's the value of this faith if it was coercion? Then he answers that, no, it was not just for coercion. It was showing that this is something from God. And by that mount coming over their head, they became frightened. But the purpose was probably not for frightening them, for showing them the power of God. And you have to take this with power. This خُذُمَا أَتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ. Take it seriously. Take the verses of this seriously. Now that you see the power. This is the answer that Fakhreddin Razi gives, and apparently all others have said that. Yeah.
Continuation, yeah.
And sometimes you have no other choice but to coerce people.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's because, you see, striking the moon and making it into two pieces and, you know, maybe raising something else like the waters of the river, it's miracles in itself. But when you sort of put some weight on it, it's then when you're threatened with life and death. Just for my records, did the Israelis still rebel after this direct threat to their lives or not?
You know, sometimes miracles are forgotten very quickly. But in the case when you see a mount on your head, you never forget it. That is something which you, it's a lifetime experience. And maybe that was the power of this miracle of, and because they were thinking, وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ they thought that it's falling upon them. And that was an experience which they never forgot. But of course, again, they somehow... Yeah.
Thank you, sisters. No, brother in the front.
Salaam alaikum, Sheikh. You mentioned the word wilaya, and you explained, or one of the meaning as connection. My understanding was wilaya is kind of guardianship. So perhaps wilaya has more than one meaning. But then you went on to say that, so if in today's times, if somebody is a supporter of Banu Umayyah or so on, they will be then treated as though they are enemies of Hussein. So is it as extreme as that? Because I was thinking of one particular scholar in India who said Yazid Raziallahu Anhu. So, I mean, would he be in that category?
I hope so. I don't know. I mean, someone who says Yazid Raziallahu Anhu, knowing that he has killed Hussein alayhi salam, is exactly the same as Jews who were praising their fathers while they knew they had killed the prophets. It's the same thing. Now, what wilaya? Yes, wilaya originally means connection. But this connection, for example, we have this horizontal connection, we have vertical connection. The horizontal connection, the two parties are called friends. Al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minat ba'aduhum awliya'u ba'ath. Mu'minun and mu'minat, awliya'u of each other, friends, they are friends. They have connection of friendship, even more than, wilaya is more than friendship actually, more stronger connection. Now, when it's vertical, the one who's at the top is guardian. It's called wali. Allahu waliyul ladina. The one who is under is someone who's actually protected, someone who's looked after. Ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah. Allah is actually protecting, Ali is looking after him. So the core meaning is connection. But the way you are standing in this connection changes the meaning. Yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters?
For example, Aimma are our awliya. Yeah. And we are their awliya as well, isn't it? We are their awliya as well because we are their followers. We are guided by them. And they are our awliya because they guide us. They are our leaders. Yeah.
Thank you, Sheikh. Talking about the death... we discussed that we shouldn't ask for the death, but we should welcome when Allah wishes death on us and be prepared for it as a mu'min. Now, sometimes a situation arises where a person we see is so much going through difficulties, like So much sick and suffering, and we wish Allah that be merciful on him or her, and at the back of our mind there is always that thought that now Allah is enough for him or her, give death. Is that also
you wish for them or they wish for themselves?
No, sometimes, well, for example, you know, we say to Allah be merciful on him or her, and at the back of the mind, I'm sure that people have that.
Ask whatever is better for them, Allah gives them. One of my friends was saying that we were going to visit a house for purchase, and the lady was showing us, and we went into a room, and an old man, very ill, very sick, was lying there, and I said that, well, inshallah, Allah give you cure. And the lady, who was the wife or whatever, said, Aga, he was a clergy, Aga, please pray to Allah to give him cure.
Okay. Any brothers or sisters? Yeah, okay.
Just coming back to the question about martyrdom and death, isn't there a danger of glamorizing martyrdom? Because living in like England in 2016, you're not really going to get a chance to participate in holy war or something like that. So isn't there a danger of glamorizing it?
Glamorizing jihad,
so
you mean?
Yeah, so like the same way that people recruit young people to go to ISIS and stuff like that, to say, oh, you can die a holy death if you go there.
Because some people, I mean, in a very stupid way understand this, we shouldn't actually put aside the concept. The concept is very, very great, very honorable concept, martyrdom. And it may always come about, I mean, suddenly something happens for a very, very noble cause, for example, we have to fight. But having this in mind, that we are so dedicated to Allah that we want to sacrifice our lives for it, should not be somehow hindered by certain stupid ideas, people actually interpreting it in a very silly way. We shouldn't actually listen to them.
Thank you. Any sisters or brothers? Anymore? No? Thank you, Muhammad Wa Ali Muhammad Salwan. Inshallah, we continue next Sunday.
Inshallah.